Hello and welcome to Quite Unsuitable for Females. Thank you for joining us on this journey as we dive into the FA's ban on women's football and how we are taking it from story to stage. Well, we're here for our first episode of the podcast today to sort of introduce ourselves and the project that we're embarking on together. So I'm Bella Spinks. I'm a musician. I'm a composer. I'm a choir director, choir leader. I live in Lewes in East Sussex. And I have two small babies. And that's me. Who are you?
Who am I? Today I am Red Gray and I'm a theatre maker and the artistic director of Stitched Up Theatre. I live in Brighton and I have four big babies and four little grandbabies.
That's true. Okay, so I guess probably the best place to start introducing this project is right at the beginning. So I think probably in maybe in about 2012 or something, maybe a bit later than that, I was taken to by my now husband to the Amex in Brighton when it was just built. We went to see Brighton play and it would have been then the biggest stadium that I had ever seen a football match in. And I've never been particularly interested in football. I kind of enjoy the hype around the big matches growing up when my dad would watch football on the telly. But beyond that, it wasn't a particular interest of mine. But as a musician and as a singer, to be in a big stadium like that and hear a crowd of thousands of people singing together in tune and in time, was quite incredible. And I just felt like, gosh, you couldn't curate that if you tried. You couldn't orchestrate that if you tried, that many people singing the same thing. And it was kind of that first, for me, the first like intersection of those two things, those worlds colliding and being like, gosh, there is music in football in a way that I had never seen before. And I spent a little bit of time playing around with the idea of trying to start a choir or a samba band with some voices as part of Albion in the Community, which are a community project in Brighton. And nothing really came to fruition. And then fast forward probably 10 years.
Wow.
I moved to Lewes with my husband and my two children. And my husband had been asked to set up a garden at Lewes Football Club. And so we started going to the matches. And he had showed me a podcast with an ex-director of Lewes Football Club, Karen Dobray. And she was talking about the ban on women's football, the FA ban. And it was just shocking. So for anyone who doesn't know, maybe we should give a bit of history to that, actually.
Go ahead.
So when the First World War happened, obviously the men were off fighting and the women were recruited to make weapons in the factories, became munitions factories. And football teams started forming and were encouraged as a kind of communal leisurely activity in the tea breaks and the lunch breaks for the women working in these factories. And soon these games that the women were playing for charity, they were raising money for charity, for wounded soldiers and just generally for families of affected by the war, they were starting to bring huge, huge crowds of people who were enjoying the women's match. The women's game. And that continued past the war finishing, so continued right into 1920. And there was a really significant team called the Dick Kerr Ladies up in Preston who played a match at St Helens that I think was a 53,000 capacity.
Against St Helens, wasn't it? At Goodison Park?
At Goodison Park, that's right. And I think they had 53,000 people in the stadium and another
14,000
outside. So huge, huge numbers of people. And shortly, that was in December 1920, and shortly after that, the FA decided to ban any women's teams playing on their pitches. Mm-hmm. A ban which lasted up to the '70s, 1971, it was lifted. So obviously hearing that story, the outrage I felt that it wasn't more common knowledge. Because even for me, as someone who wasn't a particular football fan coming into that space, I didn't know about it. But so many people who I talked to who were football fans, even football fans specifically of women's football, didn't know about the history. And that's kind of, I guess, when that light bulb moment happened of like, okay, there's something creative, there's something musical, something theatrical that can be alive here and in this story.
Yeah, there's a story to tell.
Which is when I brought it to you and we talked about how to make that happen. So maybe you can introduce your theatre company, Stitched Up Theatre, and why this story that we are telling fits so well in at home in Stitched Up Theatre.
Yeah, well, Stitched Up Theatre was born just before the pandemic. It just came into existence because I'd found a story that I wanted to tell. Mm-hmm. And got a great team of women around me and created a show. And it was about a woman who had her voice taken away from her. Basically, she'd been incarcerated in an asylum for 41 years for basically just sort of speaking out against the vicar. Because this, as we created this story, we realized it was about women's voices being heard, and that's what the whole project became about. And we did a lot of community engagement around that subject and gave women a chance to have a voice through stitching and singing. And so when you mentioned this to me, it was like, well, here we go again. Maybe this time it's about women being seen as much as heard, you know, literally seen on the football field. And so it seemed like a perfect fit, really. And I thought, yeah, let's see what we can do in the same way that we'd done the last show. The last show was an opera, and so we're used to telling a story through music, as well as physical theatre and dialogue, and sort of poetry and abstract things, movement and things like that. And so, yeah, I could see all of those things. There's obviously a lot of movement in the football, a lot of choreography around there. There's the music on the terraces, the chanting of the crowds. And it's funny because when I was growing up, we had an LP, my dad's record, that was called the Cop Choir. It was a Liverpool supporter. We were all regulars at Anfield. And I used to love listening to that, and just the songs on the terraces, yeah. And you know, yeah, beautiful, tuneful, powerful, heartfelt singing from a football crowd, which was something I heard as a child. And like you say, you hadn't really heard that until you went to Brighton.
So music and football for you were almost always connected then, I guess, that the presence of singing, using your voice, chanting was always there.
Yeah, to hear You'll Never Walk Alone every fourth Saturday when I was a girl. Yeah, it was just second nature to hear the crowd singing.
Yeah, so that's the show that we're creating, which is ultimately telling the story of the ban through the eyes of our young protagonist who works in a munitions factory and you know, realizes that playing football sets her alight and follows her journey to learning about the ban. At the moment, it is sitting somewhere between a play and a musical, using voice as a chant and some songs in there. We're just at the stage now where we've had some money awarded to us by the Arts Council for us to do some R&D to start workshopping some of these characters, some of the songs, some of the sounds, some of the movements, to see how it all might turn itself into a production.
Mm. And I guess what we didn't say and what I didn't say about the theatre company was that this time round I'm going to be directing this piece and that you are the musical director and you're going to be writing the music and we're co-creating it, co-writing and devising it.
So previously to this, your role in a theatrical sense has been devising and performing.
Yeah, certainly before Stitched Up Theatre, I was always on the performance side of things and the creative side of things. Well, you know, creating the stage performance. And then with Stitched Up, I was artistic director simply because it was my concept, my idea. And and I was also the performer and co-composer and writer. But when you mentioned this show, for some reason, I didn't even think about, what role will there be for me? I just straight away thought, okay, I'll direct that. So I haven't questioned that. I've just gone, okay, that's what's next for me.
And so how does that feel to what sort of resources and tools are you using to get into the headspace of being a director rather than a performer? Being on the other side of the coin.
It definitely feels more objective. Which is kind of nice in a way. Sometimes as a performer, when you're really trying to get into the backstory of your character, well, it's a huge journey. And in some ways, that's important for me to do as a director, but I'm not being quite as indulgent as I would normally do, normally be. It's being a director of something which doesn't exist yet as well, which is quite tricky. So in a way, it's as much being a storyteller and a deviser. And just I'm just trying to research, because that's really important. Facts are really important to know what story we're telling. Mm. And then when we're creating a fictional character, I'm letting that come from the heart, I think. And what I'm finding is, there's probably quite a lot of autobiographical stuff in there from being a girl growing up with a strong father and quite, a couple of brothers, footballing family, very, very strong supporting footballing family and an uncle as well. My dad and my uncle had the season tickets, and then I would share the third season ticket with whoever else wanted to go to the home matches. My kind of awakening into my, I guess, autonomy as a woman in that sort of environment is similar to the protagonist, I think. It's going to be about a journey for her.
In some ways it's a real coming of age story, isn't it?
Yeah.
For her. And of course her context is so different to what it would have been without a war, without the time surrounding, the votes for women, and also the story that we're telling about the ban. That's quite a kind of, in some ways, quite a surreal and specific environment to kind of be a teenage girl.
Hugely political time, wasn't it? Absolutely, all of the facts around that and the climate and all of the things that were going on socially, politically, as you say, the war and the way the country was changing, the way the world was changing, as well as the whole gender subject, as well as just individual emancipation. Mm. You know, there are so many things. So it's a really rich area to look at and to digest, really. And I hope that then that just flows out of us, you know?
Yeah.
and then we can tell the story that we want to tell. But yeah, you know, I want it to come from the heart, and I want it to just be a story, you know. Don't want to be preaching at people, or, you know, it's not a lecture. So we'll tell the story, and we'll let the story tell itself. Mm. And then staging wise, I've got some ideas about how I see it, sort of genre wise, and the kind of the flavors that we might see on stage.
Well, it's going to be a really interesting home for, you know, for the story. Football is inherently theatrical, isn't it? Whether you kind of see it that way or not. And I think, I don't know about you, but certainly for me, coming into this idea, even though it felt like it found me, there's of course a lot of imposter syndrome there, thinking, do I know enough about football? Am I kind of a big enough football fan to be telling a story about football? But ultimately, the more and more that I think about the story and the more we talk about it, the less it becomes about football, in the sense that it is about all those things that you mentioned. But having the sport and the theatrics surrounding the sport and the culture surrounding the sport, and how reflective football continues to be and has been of the wider societal landscape. We've got so many tools at our disposal, I think, to make a really interesting show.
Yeah.
Which I'm really excited about.
Mm.
I know for me, for the music, trying to hit the right spot with those feelings of those songs and those chants that you hear at football matches, which are so impassioned and so simple but so effective, and also bring that into a kind of maybe more serious, vulnerable element to some of the storytelling that's going on, while still making it feel like it's a football match, or it's a, you know, has that element to it. It feels like it's already a challenge, but something really interesting.
I wanted to ask, actually, as a singer-songwriter, which is what, you know, what you're normally sort of looking at, how does it feel very different to be writing for theatre than just rewriting for your own album?
Yeah, it feels really different. I mean, I think the approach is different, and in some ways the middle part is the same. So I think to kind of sit down with an intention to write as a singer-songwriter, or something that's led me there because I'm feeling emotional, or I've heard something that's inspired me, that will take me to the piano, whereas this is an intention in a different way. It's okay, I'm going to sit down and do some work and try and find this song out of a story that, you know, is very specific. Once I'm there, I think the flow is sort of the same.
Mm.
But the big thing that's different is at the end, I almost have to then revise what I'm writing to work out whether it fits in the context of our storyline or the context of a show, or can, you know, is this interesting enough or catchy enough, simple enough to be in a show where a group are going to be singing it or one person's going to be singing it? Those are questions I don't have surrounding my own singer-songwriter music, because it's just whatever's going on in my head and whatever kind of lands on the piano. It's almost like I'm being a producer, because I'm taking what I've written and then fitting it into a particular design.
Does it feel like it has to be more formulaic as a craft?
Yeah, it feels a bit more scientific.
Mm.
It feels almost, yeah, the two sides. You've got the kind of artistic, creative side in the intention, and then it's sort of like, okay, well, now we've got to work out what we've got and does it fit? And is it the same? Does it sound like the last thing I've written, because it's got to sound like the same show?
Hmm.
Whereas maybe on an album, you don't necessarily have that consideration, or at least the way I write, I don't really have that consideration.
So it's like almost writing a musical score.
Mm. Yeah, where there are themes, or like, you know, you can't suddenly be in a different style of music. If we were to do that, that would be that would have to be really intentional to be like, okay, we're going to have a chant here and then a blues song and then a, you know.
Mm. So what about the period of that it's set in and, you know, the themes, subject matter, how are they going to influence your composition?
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot because initially I started looking at the kind of war songs that were recorded at that time or written down at that time in the First World War. My initial thought was to try and find a way to combine those sorts of war chants or protest chants, thinking about the suffragette movement in at that time also, and then about football chants and whether I can kind of thread them together. But I think I quite quickly realised that although I want to include that, actually a lot of the time we're in Florrie, who is our main character, I'm not sure if I've said that yet, in her internal world, which is probably softer and not so much of a chant. Maybe it's more songy, it's more lyrical and melodic. And so I've looked at some of those chants which have influenced some things that I've written. But actually now it's looking at how we flip between that kind of internal yearning and struggle, which music is so important for. It's so important for framing those sorts of emotions. If you're going to be doing a musical play or a musical, I don't really know what we are going to call it.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I guess the singers on the terraces, it's all outward, isn't it? It's not sort of internal musings and reflective thoughts that come out. It's slogans and sort of protest songs almost.
Yeah, which is a really important part, a really important theme in our show.
Yeah.
But we are telling it in a very internal human way. Because we're getting right into the emotional vulnerability of a young girl. So, yeah, it's been, I mean, I'm really enjoying it. It's been so interesting to have to write with confines that are quite contrasting.
Yeah.
And making them work together, which, you know, I think the test will really be when we have our workshop period. And we can use the singers, and I can, we're going to have a collective of singers who will be our sort of Greek chorus come football fans, and we can really use them to sing, to make a big noise, and yeah. So there's, you know, in that way, it doesn't feel like it's going to be a musical so much because, like as in a football match, you wouldn't necessarily say it's a musical place, but it is it's very much a musical place.
Yeah, isn't that funny? It's so present, and yet it's not something, you know, people, I don't know, do fans go away and say, oh, we sang really well today? Maybe they do.
Maybe.
I've never been in that part of the stadium where people are really singing. I was always in the main stand sort of looking at the cop.
Yeah,
and listening to them and singing along a bit, but the little pockets of singing in the main stand. It's not really where the main singing's coming from.
But just, I mean, and it just shows how universal using your voice is. So, you know, to have that as an ability to be able to use your voice as support, as protest, as expression. Again, is another theme of our.
Well, it's everyone's show. Right, and it's everybody's. You know, like you say, everyone can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, in some ways that kind of goes against the kind of almost the elitism in a theatre where you'd probably just maybe be casting people for their, you know, their expertise in as singers. Whereas really we just want big voices, don't we, that can stay in time and sing in tune. But it's
but harking back to that very initial point of this whole thing for me, you know, it was just people using their voices, and it was beautiful to listen to.
It was coming from the heart, wasn't it? That's what's important.
Yeah.
And in some ways that's I don't know, I'm thinking about this as a performer really, but that's not going to be my role. But what a relief, you know, how freeing to not have to worry about sort of vocal technique.
Yeah.
Reaching those top notes. It's just like, yeah, just go for it. Give it all, which probably is what singing should be, is how singing should be done anyway.
Oh, I think so. Definitely.
Back to its roots.
Yeah. Yeah. So on that note you know, coming from the heart and it not being about technique, which is also something that, you know, in some ways that imposter syndrome for me of not knowing about football or not knowing about, we're kind of really trying to uncover parts of the human condition here that are universal and not, you know, that these things shouldn't be reserved just for some people. Mm. Like our protagonist who ultimately gets, you know, her opportunity taken from her because she is deemed not worthy as a woman to play football on FA pitches. Do you feel like there are certain messages or a certain thought that you want the audience to go away from our show with?
Mm. It's funny with that question because I feel like in some ways that might limit people's response. I want people to go away with whatever they go away with, really. It's not my responsibility and it's not in my power to say what they'll go away with. I just hope that we tell the story and that it I guess I would say I would want people to be moved and to go away and think about what they've seen and if it were to change attitudes or it were to enhance somebody's life somewhere or empower somebody in some way, then that would always be the great thing.
Mm.
But I think it's an important story to tell. So for people who don't know it, then, you know, they are becoming aware of something. And then what they do with that, whether it outrages them or whether it doesn't, it's not really in my control, but so I don't think it's something you can force. I think it's really for the audience to take what they will from it, really. And they will. Every person will take something different from it. Someone might take something personal. Others might take something more societal or political from it. Or they might just have a good evening and have a fun time. So I think I wouldn't want people to be indifferent after the show. I think I would want people to
feel something.
To feel something.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what theatre should do. I think it should provoke and I think it should enlighten and it should open up people's possibilities and opportunities to just get to know more about humanity really and about who we are and why we do what we do. And
That's very interesting.
Is it?
Is, yeah, because, you know, I think I, when I heard this story, I was so outraged. I just wanted everybody to be so angry. Mm. So that is a perspective which, yeah, as a creator of something, you have to kind of let it go, don't you? You can't control where it lands or, it's a good reminder.
Well, yeah, because I guess it can affect your art. It can affect, you know, if you think about if you were singing something and you want people to feel a certain way, then, you know, if you're singing a sad song, something about something that's really hurt you and you want other people to know that and feel that, then, you know, you're not going to necessarily just break down in tears at the piano. If they see you doing that, then they might think, oh, well, there's no room for my reaction or my emotion because the performer's taking it all here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I think as a director, like I say, it is more of an objective role. So as long as I feel satisfied with that we're telling the story as well as we can, then I trust that it will land where it will.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it will. Right in the back of the net, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Well, wonderful. I think that's a great introduction to where we are. And yeah, we've got a whole series worth of podcast guests planned to look at every different element of this of this show. And
what are the elements?
Well, something we haven't talked about today, but we will in due course, I'm sure, is our kind of workshop arm of the project, which is putting together some workshops to invite the community in, specifically in Lewis, because we are really doing this show in partnership with the wonderful Lewis Football Club, whom we will talk about much more maybe in the next couple of episodes. And we're going to do some singing workshops, some of the repertoire from the show, and also some stitching workshops, which are, something you did for your previous show. Do you want to talk a little bit about what they are and why they're connected?
Well, the reason we started stitching workshops, which then led to the name Stitched Up Theatre, was because the story of the woman whose story I was telling was embroidered. She'd embroidered samplers with the story over those 41 years in the asylum, Mary Frances Heaton. And that's how we knew her story. So we use that as a medium for women to stitch their own stories in different ways, which you can see if you go on the website.
Yes. We'll have those links in the in all the information.
Yeah, but they're really beautiful samplers to see, and wonderful work that the women came up with in workshops. And it was also just a great environment for women to talk and to open up and to have these sort of conversations about women's voices and all the things that we face.
Which sort of led quite nicely into what the story we're telling now. And we decided to carry on those stitching workshops with a slight difference, I guess, because rather than in the content of the workshops will be different, because we are looking to kind of create some sort of football banner to thread it through with this idea of football.
Yeah. And to be seen, a banner to be seen, and you know, so it kind of continues on those themes.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have liked to have forced it and said, oh, you know, whatever show we're doing, we're going to include stitching. But
no.
But for this one, it seemed relevant. So
yeah, it felt like a very natural element to involve. Great.
Well, great to talk to you.
Yeah, lovely start. Well, there you have it, the first step in documenting this journey from story to stage. If you'd like to see more of what we're doing, you can follow us on Instagram at Quite Unsuitable for Females. We have many more guests lined up in the realms of football and theatre, so watch this space.